Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It's Dom time, final hour before Thanksgiving. Jump in at 855-839-1210. This from NJ.com about the bird feeders and the bears. The Animal Protection League of New Jersey, which is involved in the drafting of the language of the bill, has felt the force of the backlash. Quote, "If I hear one more thing about bird feeders, I'm going to start crying or screaming or something." The representative, Angie Mettler, the executive director, said, because it's turning what should be a discussion about effective trash management into something that makes everybody hate the bill. Well, maybe you got to be more careful about coming up with wild stuff that bird feeders have to be 10 feet up and you have to take them in every night and related matters. Now, look, I speak with experience. I face down a black bear the other day out there at the Neck, who provided me with a football dressed up in Trump garb. So I know of what I speak here. All right, Dawn Fantasia was on with us. Assemblywoman Sussex County brought this to the attention of everybody. And it's the type of story that's going to reverberate because it's entertaining. And it also illustrates the issue of progressivism, overreach, particularly gone after people who know their business in rural parts of the state. And you have a bunch of people, it seems like, from the cities in New Jersey, trying to tell them about what to do in this situation. It's got every element that you could want in a story. By the way, my eyes were looking here. Somebody's running for governor might be on next, too. And I saw she's from District 24, Dawn, and I saw running for governor. I went, oh, let's break that in. We'll ask her about the governor's race, though. Because places like Sussex County are going to be key in determining what happens in the Republican primary. Let's bring in the Assemblywoman. Assemblywoman, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving. It seems like there might be some sanity being restored here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. But, you know, I have to say, I'm looking at this and the sanity is slowly creeping back. But the largest gaping part of the actual trash management, there's still a big hole there. Again, I shared a video of what the bears do with these bear-proof trash cans that have the threaded lids. I put that up on X and some other platforms. And again, this is exactly what happens when urban legislators who have never seen a black bear outside of the zoo or a Disney movie try to pass laws that affect people who live with it daily.
Yeah, I mean, you talked the other day about breaking, knowledgeable enough to break into cars and all the rest of it, Dawn. So, again, why not consult with people like you and others in these areas when you go forward with this? Are they in that much of a bubble that they don't think there's anything that they need to do to actually get the lay of the land here?
Well, that's a really simple answer, and maybe not apparent to people outside of our neck of the woods, but this bill originated with anti-hunting activists. That was the impetus of the bill, and everybody who had bird feeders caught the shrapnel. They were not the intended targets. So the reason why they went outside of our district to these urban legislators in these cities is because they were looking for some, you know, soft-hearted Disneyfication style people who didn't understand, who didn't know that this bill started out to ban deer baiting. That was the heart of the bill, to ban deer baiting as a way to start rolling back hunting rights in the state. And all of these other pieces fell into place. And incidentally, the bird feeders took a hit. Now, some of the people who came to testify in Trenton, again, one lady specifically, she's an anti-hunting activist who has been arrested four times in Sussex County. She would lay in front of the weigh station, lay in front of trucks. She even released a nuisance bear that was caught by the Division of Fish and Wildlife.
What? And, oh, my God.
And the fourth time, she was actually sentenced to jail time. And then that ended up getting modified, but it really took that many times. And this is one of the individuals that Angie Mettler and this bear group send to, you know, to pick off these soft-hearted, unknowing legislators who have never seen a bear. So that's why this bill was crafted in just such a silly way.
Yeah. Again, though, it's such good fodder, Dawn, because it underscores what talk radio, as you know, talks about a lot, and what you talk about, just the sheer lack of any compunction about going into our lives without consulting with anybody or anything else. All these forces that are engaged here, sometimes, as you said, it's got a bigger agenda here where it came from. At other times, they just think they know better about bird feeders, bathrooms, anything else. Murphy crawls with this type of stuff.
You are 100% correct. And I mean, like the icing on the cake after, I mean, if you did take a look at the video of the bear, you know, getting into the bear-proof can, unscrewing nice as you please, the fact that somebody who had never witnessed that, never lived that, thought it appropriate to slap $1,000 fine on you anytime that happens, just really, that's the icing on the cake. It really is.
Dawn, we talked the other day about this, too, and this is just a real good example. If I were running for governor, I would be bringing things like this up. And we started to ask you your thoughts on it. We had Ed Durr on today. Jeff Andrews' name was brought up when I talked with Matt Rooney yesterday from SaveJersey.com. We know about Spadia, appears to be definitely running, and Jack Cittarelli is. Give us a sense for people that didn't hear you the other day. What you're going to be looking at in a candidate before you might endorse or be involved in it? What do you think it takes to win in Jersey?
Well, I think it takes being able to talk to people and actually listen first. So I say talk to people, but I always say God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think listening, I mean, that's why I think the Democrats failed so miserably in this last round, because they took that elitist, we know better, listen to us approach. And I think from the Republican side, we do have some candidates that are very good at listening, very good at going out into the community. It's going to be a real boots on the ground listening. And I think campaign messaging is going to stick to Republican core values, but also needs to be somewhat fluid as different things come up and different concerns present themselves. I mean, New Jersey is so geographically diverse. I mean, what affects, you know, Cape May County is extraordinarily different than what affects Sussex County. So it's really going to take somebody very malleable and flexible, and somebody who's willing to listen to the little guy and really like push forward, you know, for people who feel like they're not being listened
right.
to.
And I would say this, and you're one of the people I would talk with if I were in the primary. And what I want to know is what's, and I have five or six of you. There's going to be an issue that comes up. This bird feeder is an example. There's going to be something that resonates that you and I may not be able to predict at this moment that just has a factor of all these things like the bird feeder that pops. And if you're able to pounce politically on that, you're malleable enough, you're quick on your feet, you could ride that to the broader issues that are affecting New Jersey.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw oftentimes the language criticizing or being critical of the Republican Party is, oh, you know, it's too radical, the radical right and, you know, all that. And that is so unbelievably untrue. When you look at the policies that are hurting us, it's actually those who are way, way, way too far left. And, you know, the way that they tax us into absolute oblivion, absolute oblivion. And that budget was obscene last year. It was my first time at the rodeo on that floor. And the pork projects, like, I felt like I was getting, you know, smacked in the face repeatedly with every new stupid little pet project that came up. So, again, if you can just really shine a light, I think the big The big issue here is going to be shining a light on all these ridiculous elitist, you know, spending pork projects and really get back to funding things that people care about. In other words, schools. I mean, that's going to be a huge one this year. You show me a candidate that puts together a valid school funding formula on the right and that brings some equality back to that, and that's going to be a winner for sure.
Now, Ed Duron talked affordability. Obviously, that's the number one thing there, but also parental rights. How would you craft, if you were a candidate, what you're looking at, what you do in your role, the issue of parental rights? In other words, what's something that summarizes that, that puts it in front of people where they go, well, Dawn, I think I told you about a week or so before the election, I saw a lot of factors indicating the boys and women's sports and all that stuff, transgender issues, but that too was the sleeper issue, they, them, with Kamala Harris. That galvanized a lot of people who were not paying attention to see her as the elitist, the out of touch, and they went, really? That's what she's about, as much as the big issues. So how do you get people to see parental rights?
You know, that's a sticky wicket. The people who have children in school, it's very apparent. Mm-hmm. They see these ridiculous things coming home. You know, they talk to their children and hear what's happening in the schools. But to me, the way I look at it is New Jersey, every taxpayer, every business, you know, we fund schools. So that to me means not just parents who have children in school, but taxpayers have an absolute valid right to say, hey, this is what I'm funding, and I want it to be a quality education system that's going to show academic growth for our students. We should all expect better out of the New Jersey Department of Education. I mean, they are slacking to the nth degree. There was a revolving door of leadership over there. And I mean, some simple things like, you know, mandating that curriculum be available for the public to see online. You know, it's not being pushed. And I know myself, I've been in education for 18 years as a middle school principal, and I know part of my evaluation hinged on two things, two major components besides the academic growth of the children, and that was parental outreach and family involvement and community engagement. And where have those pieces gone? I feel like our schools are operating under, you know, undercover. So again, basically, you are a stakeholder. Every taxpayer in the state of New Jersey is a stakeholder in New Jersey public schools. And it is so very important that they understand that, and they're paying for that. You are paying for that.
To that point, too, what you made, now this would be a general election. I'd be looking for examples of these schools that are not going to tell their parents that their kid wants to be known by a different pronoun in schools. I mean, it should be done quietly, should be done subtly, but you can't be complicit and having them put a name on the paper to fool the parent and another name in school. That's serious business when you're engaging at, and apparently any number of schools sort of have that policy.
Well, that 100% was the directive passed down, you know, with the looming threat of lawsuits if you don't comply, and lawsuits for districts and boards of ed that chose to not comply. So, you know, the way I look at it is New Jersey Department of Ed has looked at this all wrong. Instead of saying in situations where a child is in danger, if there is a risk at home,
right,
if there's
exactly.
any history of abuse, that is the exception to the rule. What they did is that they made the rule the exception. So they villainized all parents, and they villainized, you know, teachers who wanted to communicate with the parents, and they created this awful disconnect. You know, there's a fine line between confidentiality and what's doing good and right to help guide a child. And the state literally missed the mark by reversing those two. And instead of making an exception for suspected abuse, they made that the rule. And that is not well received by parents.
Well put, Dawn. So when does this bird feeder situation come to a head?
You know, I wish I knew. I've said this before. Two speeds in Trenton, slow and stop. Hopefully this is on the slow track, and that will mean that it will limp, you know, a painful death towards its, you know, final resting place. Because to me, there's nothing salvageable in this bill other than promoting education. The state should invest in education, because the state certainly doesn't have $549 a pop to buy every household, you know, the newest bear-resistant trash can. I'd be very surprised if they pony up to buy the entirety of northwestern New Jersey that. I mean, they have too many pet projects in the city to do. I mean, they don't care about us.
So yeah, that's right. Know? Where do people find your video, too, on the bear-resistant trash can that is not?
Oh, it's on X. So if you go on X and just search Dawn Fantasia NJ, it's on there. It's also on my Assembly Facebook page. So I just, you know, I wanted to share that. That was a video actually taken in West Milford in October of 22. And this is when we were really fighting it out with the governor about some of these initiatives. And I made it like my mission to daily post something, some ludicrous scenario that happened with a bear. And that one made the cut. And yeah, so I resurrected that one just to remind our urban friends who, you know, are taking the Disney approach to this.
Absolutely. Dawn, have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you so much. And keep us in your loop. We're ready to go.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
All right. Dawn Fantasia here on Talk Radio 1210. The bear story. What happened yesterday? All good. All right. So a Monday. All right. We'll have more of your calls coming up. Hit us on the side question, which is a really good one. And somebody online has a local rivalry for Thanksgiving doing its 138th game. Isn't there something to be said about these rivalries, about that? Now, I don't know. Maybe they change. Maybe they're not really rivals anymore. I like the bitter rivals. Is there schools that have, like, I don't even think the Eagles and Cowboys are, they're bitter on our end. I still don't think the Cowboys
I feel like the
care.
Cowboys care more about, like, the Giants.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the ones I despise the most, even more than Cowboy fans, they're bad, Cowboy fans, are these New Yorkers coming down and overpaying at Sixers games. You hear the accent, you see the clothing, the arrogance, just, they might be worse than Mets fans even that we've seen take over the Phillies game.
They come out of nowhere because, you know, the Knicks stink. But then, you know,
these last
two seasons, you just come out of the woodwork like,
exactly.
Hey, we're here.
Exactly. But we are also ready for a great prize I'll tell you about in a moment for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
That's right. Today you're playing for a pair of tickets to see the Pennsylvania Philharmonic perform the music of John Williams December 15, 2024. At the Zlock Performing Arts Center on the campus of Bucks County Community College. We love the Zlock. Rich did an event there recently. I did one too. We'll do more. Henry, what do you have?
Yeah, so in honor of today's side question, you know, what's a unofficial holiday observance that you like? You may have noticed earlier in the show, I played Holiday Road by Lindsey Buckingham.
Okay.
I'm going to play a cover of that song, sang by a late aughts, early 2010s pop star who has since kind of faded from the spotlight, but, you know, is still in my heart for sure. So I want the name of this artist when I play this song, all right?
Yep.
Long ago, it's a long way down this holiday road. Holiday road.
Hit us with that, and you're off to the Zlock. Be a nice night, December 15th. Here's how you get in with your answer, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. Just hit pound 1210.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That is right. All right, here's today's clue. Tell us who's covering this song.
Grab your clothes, grab your bag.
Go to Bill in Newcastle. Bill, who's covering that song?
Hey, is it Kesha?
Yes, it is, Bill. Nicely played. Enjoy the Philharmonic and enjoy the Zlock. It is a great spot. We love it. So, Bill, you'll be going off in there on December 15th. All right. Coming off that, I teased this earlier in the show, never got to it. There's a lot of outrage going on Twitter today. Billboard magazine has their top 25, full list of their picks for the greatest pop stars of the 21st century, meaning the last 25 years, give or take. I mentioned Katy Perry, okay, etc. The great Eminem is only a number 12, but at number 10, we have Adele, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Kanye West, Britney Spears, oh my God, Lady Gaga 5, Drake 4, Rihanna 3, and number 2, stuck in number 2, Taylor Swift. So the obvious choice will be that Billboard will say, I guess over the weekend, the number 1 pop star of the last 25 years is gotta be Beyonce. Then we'll be off to the races with this. Okay. Let's go to Charlie in Northern Pennsylvania. He's got a game that's going to be the 138th playing coming up. Hey, Charlie, happy Thanksgiving. What game is that?
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Well, it's not a Thanksgiving Day rival, but they've been playing for 138 consecutive years, Germantown Academy and Penn Charter.
Oh, I didn't know that. When do they play?
They already played.
They have. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a Thanksgiving Day rivalry, but it's the oldest continuous in the country, 138 years.
Are they a rival or just in the same league or something? Do you know?
No, it's the big rival. It's a big, all the fall sports play that day.
Okay.
About 9 competitions going on, and it's the trophy at the end of the day. It's a big to-do.
So with that, it's got to be relatively close. You know, if one school, like I went to Newman, and Southern never was good at football. I know they play tomorrow, and it's got to be close to the 80th or 90th or something. And I bet Newman's ahead like 70 to 20 or something, you know. Do you happen to know, is it pretty close?
Penn Charter probably has won about 90 times.
They have. I wouldn't have guessed that.
About 88 times or so, yeah. Yeah, they have.
And it's still a big rivalry. Well, that's good because
That's like Army Navy Day.
Army Navy. There's one of the greatest of all time. If I would guess, Henry knows college sports. Who's ahead in Army Navy? I'm going to go with Army. What do you say, Charlie?
Yeah, I would. I would say Army.
Henry, who's ahead?
There was a streak there. No, Navy won for about 8-9 straight years, and now Army's been the winner now.
Yeah, they're very well. What's the answer to the side today, Charlie?
How about Groundhog Day?
Yeah, Groundhog Day is a good one. We should have taken that off the board. That's a very good one. Not a holiday, not any of that, but the whole world, the groundhog, the whole thing, right? All right, let's go to Burlington and Jersey Jim. I think another candidate for governor, Jersey Jim. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Dom. I'm happy you have me on.
Well, thank you. You're a former mayor where?
I was mayor of the city of Burlington for 8 years. I was an elected official in the city for approximately 30 years.
Okay.
I'm a former superintendent of schools. I know what Dawn was on before, principal. Taught also at Drexel University, the education program. Taught a lot of the military in that discipline as well. One of the things I wanted to talk about, you mentioned the progressive overreach. I think there's a progressive overreach in education in and of itself. And there's a lot of things we could talk about, our platform. We're in support of families, workers, and taxpayers. But let me just focus on one item. I think that I know the voters are interested, and I think the listeners are going to be interested. And I'm not sure that anybody's addressing it quite the way it should. Based on what I've seen as superintendent of Mercer County Technical Schools, and we call that career technical education, CTE, I feel we've missed two generations of carpenters, plumbers, electricians, welders, bricklayers, auto technicians, mm-hmm. auto collision. Those are academic disciplines where you can graduate and make $100,000 a year doing the craft itself. I also think we need to lower, bring the lower is probably not the right word, but develop an interest in the younger grades and if you probably remember when you were in school, we used to take shops. We used to take wood shop, metal shop in the middle schools. That's almost been eliminated And this isn't something that just the Murphy administration has done and the Democrats. This really goes back to, you know, really 1907 when it was developed. It was the Gary, Indiana plan, and all of those CTE disciplines were put into the schools, but they were kind of voted out by Democrats in various cities, New York being one of them. We need to be able to put the money into the education where a student can graduate with all of those skills. Not that we want to eliminate the academics so someone wants to be a doctor or a lawyer, but these are great options for students. And I can tell you, I fought with the state because I could have doubled the number of students I had when I was superintendent of schools in Mercer County, technical and principal.
And Jim, let me tell you, you're preaching to the choir here with our listeners, as you probably know, so it's probably surprising to them, even in Jersey, this would be curtailed that much because it's an article of faith that, of course, we ought to be doing this. And the tendency, other than the most progressive, is to move away requiring college for many jobs. Even Josh Shapiro has done that, and it's the right way to go.
Yeah, and then I also don't want to piggyback on what you just said. When I was at Drexel, and other colleges are putting in, too, there's you can pair, and just because you get all these skills and you have them, you can fix things around the house, which my wife always wanted me to be able to do, doesn't mean you can't get a college degree. Construction management as a four-year program in the college is really gaining more and more support.
Okay.
But we really need to go back and get those younger kids to be exposed to those shops. And as a culture, understand that those are great jobs.
Without a doubt. Jim, where's your website or where do people go to find out about you?
Okay, I would say go to Jim.Fazone on TikTok. That's where I have most of my information. I kind of call the other candidates the governauts. I don't think any of them are going to get in. I'm hoping people can look at my platform and you can look on my site.
All right, we'll keep you in mind. Thank you, Jim, very much. Well, that ought to be a no-brainer, but does it surprise me that Jersey's deficient? No, we all know that. All right, coming up, Jeff Bartos, big friend of the station, friend of the show. He has a piece in today's New York Post. Jewish voters, Jews, he says, were key to Dave McCormick's win in Pennsylvania after he stood up for Israel and against anti-Semitism. Is this, in a broader sense, where Republicans ought to be doubling down? And one of the reasons is, as I always say, it's the right thing, but it's also the politically right thing to do. Phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you need to do is just push #1210. All right, it is Dom time. Coming to your calls. I see some good ones here on the side question today. Coming off, this is an unusual holiday. The drinking tonight because people are coming back home. Jeff Bartos, though, still working diligently, former candidate and somebody who has been intimately involved in the Trump campaign, senior advisor here at the state level in Pennsylvania, and the McCormick campaign. Headline, New York Post today, he writes, Jews were the key to Dave McCormick's, were key to Dave McCormick's win in Pennsylvania after he stood up for Israel and against anti-Semitism. Let's go to Jeff here on Talk Radio 1210. Jeff, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Dom. Happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and all your listeners. It's always really great always to join you.
So you on several occasions, and you know, I thought, look, you're saying the right thing here. People noticed that Casey stood by Summer Lee, this anti-Semitic at best, and a lot worse than that, congressperson from the Pittsburgh area, I guess, would not call her out, would not say anything on that. And it gets at the broader thing. If you're in Casey's shoes, Jeff, I don't think you really can. They're afraid.
Well, they're terrified. Interestingly, John Fetterman took a very different tack, right? So the soon-to-be senior senator from Pennsylvania, but the junior senator for now, took a different tack. Mm-hmm. And we saw Vice President Harris and President Biden try to walk this fine line that they couldn't do, right? They end up, Harris lost Michigan, even though she tried to kowtow to the pro-Hamas crowd and send signals. So it just didn't work. I mean, Bob Casey was cautious. He was timid. He lacked moral clarity. He lacked the courage to speak and call out what he knew was right and wrong. And, you know, it shouldn't have been hard, right? Good and evil, civilization versus barbarism. I give Dave all the credit in the world. I mean, we saw this today. I don't know if you've covered the news today, this afternoon, but Elise Stefanik and Lee Zeldin had bomb threats called in to their personal residences. And, you know, they're both friends of mine. I mean, my heart goes out to them and their families. They have been on the forefront of calling out this barbarism and this this moral outrage that we're seeing on our campuses and our cities. And there's consequences to pay for that, unfortunately. There shouldn't be. Dave had the courage to speak out. And I would also say, not only did he have the courage to speak out, but he acted. I think that's what's so unique about what Dave McCormick did in this campaign. He acted. Look, statements are one thing. He showed up at Goldie to show support for the restaurant and for the owner, and to show people that he was dining there. He showed up at the vigils for the hostages and their families weekly in Pittsburgh, in his hometown of Squirrel Hill. So he showed up. He went to Israel in January. I mean, I'm not aware of many candidates, let alone elected officials, who went to Israel 90 days after the attack. So Dave not only said the right things, which is really important, and I'm, you know, forever grateful to him for that, but the actions spoke louder than the words. And when he came back from Israel and briefed some of us on what he had seen, I mean, Dom, I'm not embarrassed to say it, I was crying. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was so moved by what I heard, and I could see the impact on Dave and Dina and Matt and Lizzie and their team. It was really, I think for me, it was a real watershed moment in the campaign. And he just carried that with him all the way through the end. God, you know, God bless him.
You know, President Trump said to Jewish voters in various ways, kind of paraphrasing here, sort of, what do you have to lose? Look at the obvious. What do we know about the McCormick support from voters self-identified as Jewish as far as how much of a shift was there?
It's a great question. What I've learned in this 8 years that I've been involved at a top level and also at a very grassroots and inside the belly of the beast level in politics and running for office and helping with campaigns, is that there are exit polls out there that almost anybody who wants to make a point can use an exit poll. So the Dems have exit polls that show this, and the Republicans have exit polls that show this. So I'm going to do the best I can and kind of parse through it. President Trump appears to have achieved the highest share of Jewish voters in the United States for Republicans since at least 1988. Now, we don't fully have data yet, but that's the best data that I have seen and what I put in the op-ed. I believe when they fully go through all this data over the next couple months, you'll see that it was actually his share of the Jewish vote might be even higher, going back all the way to Eisenhower. But let's still wait and see. There was some exit polling done in Pennsylvania that showed that the Honan group did some exit polling in Pennsylvania, and that showed 42% or 41% for President Trump. So that would be from 2020 to 2024, an 11 percentage points, which is 25%, but 11 percentage point shift. That's really meaningful. And so that's about 33,000 votes in Pennsylvania with 300,000 Jewish voters. And Dave won by 16,000 votes. Now, I am not saying for a second that it was Jewish voters who were the reason he won. I mean, you could look at what the work that Sean Parnell and the early vote folks did. I know you've covered that really well. You could look at the amazing work that Scott Pressler did. You could look at the work that Dave and his team did, and Brad Todd. So everybody, I think, has a share of this. The only point I'm making in the op-ed is that Dave did something that was bold, and he stood out from the crowd, and he made this a focus of his campaign, and he won. And if the Jewish vote shifted the way we think it did, that, call it 25 to 35,000 extra votes in a race that was decided by 16,000 votes, understanding that every vote counts, Dave and his team should feel very proud that they took a risk, and that risk paid off.
Yeah, and I would add to it that this might be more that other Republican candidates can replicate. I'm not sure. Maybe it's the secret sauce of Trump would say black and Latino voters, males particularly. But with this, if McCormick can do it, other Republicans can, because I don't know about you, Jeff. I don't see the Democrat Party. What they're talking about is not changing the core belief, which goes toward what lost this time. I think, even though they don't say the word, they just want to camouflage it better. You can't camouflage the Summer Lees and these others of the world.
No, the test case that's going to come up, and I'm already like thinking about this, not that I want to spend time in Georgia, but I am going to commit time and resources to helping defeat John Ossoff, Senator Ossoff, down in Georgia. He's up in 2026. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why we can't flip that. He cast a vote last week in the Senate, which was, we would say, is a shanda. It's an embarrassment what he did. He voted to withhold. He supported Bernie Sanders' resolution to withhold weapons to Israel, who's fighting an existential war, again, a seven-front existential war. He needs to be defeated. And I have full confidence that the Republican candidate there, if to your point, which is exactly why I wrote the op-ed, Dave and Matt and Lizzie and the team put together a blueprint here of how to win, and this being a key foundational issue for a campaign. And I think whoever we nominate in Georgia ought to use this, learn from it, and take it and run with it. I think there's other races, too, but I just would highlight the Georgia 2026 Senate race.
Absolutely. Where did we find all things Jeff Bartos?
Oh, thank you. Jeff_Bartos on X. That's pretty much where I spend most of my time. And also, whenever I'm asked to join you, I love joining you on the radio. It's always great to be with you.
We will do a lot more anytime, Jeff, and have a great Thanksgiving, you and the family.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Jeff Bartos, it is the lightning round next. I see a lot. Oh, Leslie, that's a goat. Joe of Exton. Joe of Exton, I will say this, is on brand. You know,
absolutely.
It's highfalutin. It fix, you know, we have to have extra extra orchestra members here for this. He needs the appropriate stuff for it when he lets loose with this. All right, lightning round is next, 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That's right, and Dom's lightning round is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. And we know that they always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. I hope they have a great Thanksgiving there, too. All right, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Mike in Hamilton. Hey, Mike, welcome in. Are you the one that said the Pollock Club the other day?
Hey, don't, that's racist. Don't say that.
Okay. Right. Well, Dan Borowski's given us the ability
apologies.
To do it. No, Mike, you opened up a tremendous amount of talk. It was wild. Thank you. So, Mike, what's your...
That kind of slipped out.
That's why we knew it. So it was fine. So, Mike, what's your offbeat holiday?
Well, I have a holiday that a lot of people participate in and hopefully will be very important to the Delaware Valley this year.
Yes.
And that will be Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any difference in a day between when your team is in it versus not quite? Like, that's the big one. The Sixers could be in there, even the Phillies, but a Super Bowl Sunday is much different.
It's just one game.
It all comes
down to one game.
Exactly. Joe in Bordentown. Joe, what's yours?
Mine is December the 21st, which is National Humbug Day, in which you're allowed to yell, "Bah humbug," 12 times.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Keep that
another
in the back
Joe.
Pocket.
All right. Here he goes. He's rolling with this. On brand today. Joe of Exton, start the music, please. Hey, Joe, welcome in. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yes, Tom, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well. After I present my answer, I have a comment.
Sure.
My festival, which is considered a low-key spectacle, is the Cherry Blossom Festival held each May in Washington, D.C. And for my comment, I want to wish the Dom Show cast of characters a blessed Thanksgiving Thursday.
Well, thank you, Joe. And I give thanks that we finally met you at that event this year, your son and everybody else, Earl of Tacony involved. So, Joe, thank you very much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. It was fun. I enjoyed meeting all of you people, too.
Thank you, Joe. All right, you couldn't create a character like this. I know some people I saw the other day said, oh, come on, is Joe Avex in here? Is he really an actor? You guys just make this.
He's AI.
How in the world can you make up the Earl of Tacconi, people like Robert of Ben Salem, Joe? Caller of the Year contest will be coming up soon. Here's one contender from last year, Leslie in Bryn Mawr. Hey, Leslie, happy Thanksgiving.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Happy Thanksgiving. So I have a very interesting quasi-holiday.
Yes.
It was started by some very frustrated local sports talk radio guys, Angelo Cataldi and Al Morgani, in their frustration over the Eagles never getting into the Super Bowl and the Buffalo Bills getting in but never winning the Super Bowl. And so in 1993, 150 people showed up for the first Wing Bowl that grew to the Wells Fargo Center, and over 20,000 would attend the Wing Bowl. It lasted for 25 years, and once the Eagles clinched that Super Bowl ring, they said, that's it, we've got to stop.
Yeah, the Wyndham Franklin Plaza was the first iteration of that, and only in Philadelphia could you create that. By the way, Leslie, I got Ro. We're headed off to Cherry Hill for wine on Sunday.
I'll give you a report.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you should definitely spend, you know, think you're going to spend some time there. So
okay. I hear it's
not
big.
Yeah, it's not a quick trip, and sometimes they're offering samplings, so...
Oh, okay, I'm there. Thank you, Leslie.
Yeah.
Take care. Drew, we got about 30 seconds here. Hit us with yours, Drew.
Hey, Dom, thank you very much. I second Joe's wishes. Happy Thanksgiving to all
you
guys.
Thank you.
Hey, Dom, there's a song, The Day the Music Died. Well, on May 2nd, 2011, I believe, I call the day the evil died. And that's when, after almost 10 years, we finally caught up to that Osama bin Laden.
That's a good one. I was dead of sleep. It was close to 1 o'clock in the morning. They called me to come in. Big event. Had to cover it. It was nuts. The Phillies were still on, and I was right afterward.
Yep. You had the chance at the game at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Henry, who did you like?
Man, there are so many good ones today. I liked Mike and Philly's answer of Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yes.
Just an unofficial holiday every July 1st.
Right.
Another one I liked was Leslie and Bryn Mawr's answer of Wing Bowl. I mean, okay. I never got to go, but it looked spectacular. And then that last answer from Drew and Upper Darby of the day they got Bin Laden. I mean, how could you not be romantic about it?
Okay, let's go with Wing Bowl. Let's put Leslie into the hat there with that. All right, so we'll on Friday crown the winner for this week. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll be back live on Friday, Black Friday. Mary Walter is sitting in for Rich for 4 big hours to take you home. Follow me on Twitter at DomShow1210. Follow all of us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.